I've just shared actually on Facebook some vision really of benches of threes and mountains and sevens and things. Just as yesterday I sent out an email just to say, or a Facebook post just to sort of say, okay, is there anyone interested in South Africa? But there was as many people interested outside of South Africa as there was inside of South Africa. So I felt God spoke to me on New Year's Eve about raising up these benches around, and so I thought, well, actually, I'm going to just take the bull by the horns and say it. So I put out a post just to say, who's interested and feels called to this governmental type role, and we'll see what a response I get back. And that hoping, looking to pull together people from around different areas, different countries, maybe different regions, different time zones.
If you don't mind me interrupting you, that's what I was thinking, to do the bench of three, and then under that would be other benches of three that would do their time zones. That way they can do video conferencing and, encourage one another, and so is that okay? Is that kind of like along the protocol of what you're talking about?
I mean, I feel everything that operates in these type of governmental things has to be relational, and so there's got to be some sort of relational connection and a willingness to be open and honest and accountable to each other for being able to establish that what God wants, because He doesn't want a new structural thing. So this has to be something that's relational and discipleship-wise, something that releases people into their destiny and releases people into the fullness of what they're called to do. But it is a governmental role, and it is about establishing agreement in heaven. So, a bench of three obviously represents the same as the Father, Son, and the Spirit. So it's looking really to engage in the revelatory realms of heaven to bring apostolic blueprints out of heaven and look for agreement on earth, so that the three, which representing the four faces of God, the lion and the ox and the eagle, that gets authorized in heaven, but then it needs agreement with the fourth face of God, which is the man, and that's the priestly function. And that's often where the thing breaks down, because old patterns of doing it look to operate in a pastoral way of being church government and government in general, and God wants to establish it in a new way. And so it needs, therefore, agreement to open up that fourth corner, which brings an opening up of the windows of heaven, or opening up of the everlasting doors, whichever analogy you like to use, and that needs agreement. And that agreement, is this power in that agreement. And so when you look at benches of three, they then operate with sevens. So there are seven mountains that are associated with each bench of three, which are the spheres of kingdom authority that are associated with each sphere. So once you establish the three and you establish the blueprint for what the mountains are, then you have to find people to occupy those mountains, and those mountains will be so different depending on how this works. I mean, you could have a bench of three, which is one person in New Zealand, one person in the USA, one person in England, having responsibility for something in the atmosphere of the earth, or some sort of spiritual authority in a something which isn't necessarily a region or a physical place, but actually is still spiritual authority over, I don't know, the financial realm, or it could be over the health realm, different things. And then the mountains associated with that would be totally different than those spheres of authority which were maybe regional. If there's a bench of three in, I don't know, say Texas or something, okay, that establishes government. It looks for a blueprint. Now, none of this is about looking to establish earthly empires or kingdoms. It's about God's rule and establishing God's kingdom. And so a lot of this stuff is done behind the scenes. It's done in the realms of heaven, so that when we come into agreement and harmony, then we begin to administer things and deal with the atmosphere of the earth. Because the reason most things aren't going on the earth is because the atmosphere is basically blocked, usually by territorial things or rulers, principalities, powers, those type of spiritual forces. But we have to establish our own principalities and powers. They're not bad. The name principality just means like a region, like the Principality of Monaco or Vatican City. It's just an area of rule. Powers aren't bad things. It's just when they're operating with fallen angelic powers. The same with rulers. There's nothing wrong with ruling angels. You know, I know the prince ruling angel over our region, and I met him and had a number of conversations with him. But you know, we have to see that this may have a lot of multifaceted things, but God is releasing this sound out of heaven that's calling people to come into alignment and come into harmony and come into their destiny and come into the things that God really is designing for these days to establish the things in the heavens. We need lords and we need kings and we need sons, and we need to identify those people who feel called to those things and help and encourage them and release them into it. And so there may well be, you know, time zone bench of threes, there may be regional things, there may be cities, there may be lots of different things. But the key in it is that what that will do is open up the windows of heaven over that region or over that area or over that responsibility, if you like, which will then enable things on earth to come into alignment with heaven. And it will enable cities of refuge to be set up. It will enable these apostolic resource centers to be set up, where then that then ministers into the actual physical realm. You know, what we don't want is to, you know, have loads and loads of spiritual things going on, but there actually be no physical manifestation. So there's got to be an outworking of it, but you have to establish heaven first. You know, it's the kingdom is on earth as it is in heaven, so we have to establish the kingdom and the rule of God's realm on earth as it is in heaven. So identifying benches of three, identifying the seven mountains that go with each bench, then looking to identify those people who would operate within that. Now, I think there are other things in terms of councils of 12 and other things which God will release in the future, but we need to get the foundations ready first. And those councils of 12 may have things over different spheres. We're working, establishing a council of 12 here with our seven mountains and with our five ministry spheres to outwork that. And we're just at the beginning of that. So I know that's coming. But to start with, benches of three that are willing to share their hearts together and be willing to open and honest with each other and to go to a depth of openness and honesty that wouldn't be there anywhere else. And that doesn't mean that you would even need to be in the same region or whatever, but it's actually something, a heart issue. You know, I was talking to someone this week and they shared that, you know, they recognized me in the spirit, and then when we were hanging out and having a chat, our souls were catching up, and so we were beginning to understand each other and get each other's hearts at a soul level. So it is important that we see that when you begin to establish these things, it will inevitably bring things to the surface that you have to deal with, because this is a judicial thing. A bench of three provides apostolic council authority in a judicial sense, and for that to take place, there's got to be a unity. There's got to be a unity of heart and mind and purpose, and you have to work that out. So it takes some time to do that. But I saw a vision on New Year's Eve of the world, and it was spinning in one direction, and I saw these benches being established in the regions and in the areas of different places around the world, and it actually, the whole world began to spin in another direction. It stopped and then started up, moving in a totally different direction. And I think spiritually that has the power of these things. When the shaking starts to really take place, when we see this sound, you know, whether it's this new Pentecost, this sound of a mighty rushing wind, the vibrational energy of the force of God which is released, when that takes place, these benches are going to be part of that. They will be declaring, they will be speaking, they will be opening up windows, doorways for those things to take place. You know, there are doorways of access into the spiritual realm which have been accessed by the enemy, and you know, I've seen some of those, and we actually have one here, and you have to be really careful to guard it, because things come through. You know, we get smells sometimes of smoke and sulfur and different things, and you know, you have to be careful. As much as we can get good things coming through portals, the enemy also has access through some of those doors, and we have to be careful. And so some of the understanding of these dynamics will be what these benches do, and they will administer in some of these kingdom realms to be able to do that. So there will be a need to be able to establish mandates, to get scrolls, to be functioning in the court system, to then engage in kingship and bring different laws into these different spheres, as we're directed as sons to be able to creatively release the things which God is in the heart of God and the desire of God. And as we seek God together, then those things will begin to get released.
Can I ask you a question? What about the mountain? The mountains, you said you have the bench of three, and then there they have mountains under.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about what that mountain might look like.
Well, in the same way as we have a mountain, and we have our main mountain where we, you know, are released into, invested with authority to bring rule in our own lives, and there are seven spheres, you know, basic spheres under that, and there sometimes can be different levels of seven as well. But say, let's say the basic seven mountains, and we each have those seven spheres for our own personal lives and ministry. In these benches of three, it's like if it's a bench of three in a church will also have seven mountains. You know, as a church here, we have seven mountains of authority. They're spheres which we have identified, which God has shown us, and we have to raise people up. And on each of those mountains, there will be three, because it's not just, it never operates with just one, it's always three. So when you identify the mountains, you identify someone called to that mountain, and then they form a three, and they form a seven to operate that sphere. And so it basically just ultimately comes down into opening up the everlasting doors, and seeing that mountain sphere of authority and kingdom power released onto earth. And so those mountains, each bench will need to identify and get the scroll which identifies those mountains. And those mountains can be so different. I mean, our church mountains here, we have a mountain of good news. We have a mountain of health, we have a mountain of freedom, we have a mountain of blessing, we have a mountain of harmony, we have a mountain of enterprise, and a mountain of media. And there's a seven mountains that we have identified. The basic DNA of that comes from Isaiah 61, and the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, to preach good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, release those who are prisoners or oppressed, proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord. And that gives us, you know, our spiritual DNA. Each bench will have something that God is calling them to, which has that sphere and then has those mountains attached to it. And then it's a matter of, you know, identifying who are called to the mountains. Now, in a church setting, then that's reasonably is easier in one sense to identify, well, who are those people? And because they're there with you and you're ministering with them and you're sharing things with them. But we're talking about, I'm not saying there aren't churches, and there may well be churches who get involved in this, and there are benches of three that are raised up over a church and their mountains. There may be those who operate regionally. I mean, I'm involved in three benches of three. It's our church bench of three, and the local bench of three for our town and area, and then in a regional bench of three. And, you know, and I fully expect there to be benches of three raised up all over England. There's a bench of three in Ireland that I've been connected to. I know there's been one established in Wales and one in Scotland. God is at work opening up these realms. But everyone who is called to operate in a bench of three needs to be invested with that authority. They need the crown, the mantle, the scepter, weapons. And there needs to be an investiture that takes place so that they can operate in effectively. And some people and some spheres are wider, and you go into then kingship, where there's higher levels of thrones within the kingdom of heaven, and you can then administer the court of kings, and you can do different things in the judicial system. But ultimately, they're outworked on the mountains, on those thrones, for whatever that mountain represents. And that, I think, will be very different depending on what the benches of three are called to, whether it's a spiritual sphere that they're called to be identified with, a region or a town or a nation or various things. And, you know, we're on a journey of discovery, of finding out who those people are, what they're called to, and then helping them to then raise up their mountains and their threes on each of those mountains, and so that we can just see a multiplication of what God wants, so that that can be clearly established and outworked. So, yeah, mountains, spheres of authority, have thrones on them. When they're a throne that's an under a bench of three, then there's usually three people on each throne. That's what I've seen for here. We'll just have to explore and see how that works out in general for other situations, I think. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit, like, more about the function of the bench of three, which each person represents and what their role is?
Yeah. Well, in my experience, the bench of three carries an apostolic governmental role. And so their benches of three will come from that apostolic prophetic perspective. They represent, they're represented by the four faces of God, and the three faces that represent the bench of three are the lion, which is the kingly function. You've got the ox, which is the prophetic function, and the eagle, the apostolic function. And so those three work very closely together. You can have three apostolic ministries. You can have an apostolic and two prophetic. You can have a mixture, which, you know, the key is that they're all able to engage in the realm of heaven. They're all able to outwork their mandates, that they have a mandate to rule and govern, and that they have that part of their destiny, that they're able to identify scrolls and release other people. So what benches of three do, they're there to function bringing apostolic blueprints. So now I know, you know, Ian talks about, you know, the apostolic order being over and different things like that. And I understand that, and I do believe that whole old way of doing fivefold functions. But here we're talking about representatives of the four faces of God, and those three faces of God, we're not talking about earthly apostolic ministry as we know it. We're talking about a heavenly representation of that apostolic ministry of God and how that functions. And so that, I think, is very different. You know, we're not talking about the classic apostolic thing that sets up a ministry and then has all these things there to serve it. The bench of three are there to serve the seven. They provide a judicial blueprint guidelines, if you like, for vision, but they're there to serve and release others to outwork that vision in their own way. And so in our bench of three here, we have three of us, and we've looked at our redemptive gift, and we've got a redemptive gift ruler, a redemptive gift prophet, and myself, really sort of teacher, prophet, teacher. You know, that's the sort of redemptive gift side of things, which is good to have a good mix in the redemptive gifts. But generally, you're really looking at apostolic and prophetic, because that is the foundation of everything. And these benches are there to administer the kingdom in righteousness and justice. So there is a judicial sense where you get to deal with judicial issues over regions, over towns, over churches, depending on what the bench is called to do. And, you know, what generally happened was that one of the bench of three was then part of the Sanhedrin, the Council of 70, which made the laws. Now, the bench of three weren't there to, they couldn't pass death sentence in Israel. They were there to administer the courts, in fact. They dealt with court issues. They dealt with disputes, and they dealt with things like that. And we're looking to see those disputes in the heavens rather than just physical disputes on earth. But there was a judicial sense, but usually there was a council. Now, we understand that there's a galactic council of 70. I believe God is going to set up councils of 70 within nations in the times to come to administer rule. I feel that a lot of the bench of threes that he's establishing will go to form councils of 12 and will then form councils of 70. As we look to move into these things in the future. So, in a sense, a lot of it is apostolic mandates and blueprints. That's the key. So we're looking to see, okay, what is God's will and purpose? You know, we need to engage with the court of war for strategy. And we release that strategy and, you know, and encourage then also those people who are on the seven mountains to engage in strategy, and when we together we ensure that strategy is the timing of it's right. So the bench of three will have issues of timing of the prophetic and how that gets released. It's an administrative function, but coming from heaven, it's administering the kingdom in heaven on earth. You know, there will be opportunity of making laws in the court of kings. One of the exciting things which I believe God is going to do, he's done it here. I'm not sure whether it's just here. I haven't found anyone else who's doing it yet, but he's released to us. I went into the court of the upright, and there was all these gallery of men in white linen and stuff, and there were 12 thrones there, and there were people, 12 of these men in white linen on the thrones, and before them there was a trading floor, and on that trading floor there were mantles and fiery torches, and I was shown who those 12 people were. And those 12 have been assigned as like a council of reference. They recognize what our ministry is here, and they are trading into that ministry, and you know, we now need to go and explore how we function with that. Same with the seven spirits of God. You know, the seven spirits of God are there to tutor and train people to rule, and therefore we need to be able to engage with the seven spirits of God to understand the possession and, you know, each of the things that the different seven spirits bring. There will a need for the Bench of Three to engage with wisdom, and so we'll need to go to that place of the heights where the paths meet and where there's entrance to the city and where there are gates and doorways and the timeline and the way, different things like that. All those are are things that Benches of Three will need to learn how to do. But the whole purpose of it ultimately is to release that administration of heaven to manifest on earth so that there will be earthly expressions that outwork that heavenly pattern. And I think the exciting thing is that I have no idea what that looked like, and it may well be, I know what it looks like here in church. I don't know what it'll look like with three people who are based in different nations of the world and what they're called to do, but I think there will be nations that come together. I think there will be alliances that are made that are godly alliances, that God calls nations to work together. There may well be different ministry things that come together as a result of these things. So yeah, I mean, I think that's really how I would see it. So yeah.
So how often do you meet typically?
Well, we meet every week, but then it's really easy for us to meet every week because we live in the same area, so we only live about a quarter of a mile from each other. So it's really easy to meet. We met last night. Normally we meet on Tuesday mornings, and you know we're learning to step in together. You know, when it's the local Bench of Three, we meet once a month. Regional Bench of Three, we meet about once a month as well, because we're sort of separated by a fair bit of distance. But that was last year. I think this year things may be different, because I think God's called us to step up a few things and do some more judicial things. But the key is relationship, and there has to be enough connection to outwork relationship. In our regional Bench of Three, you know, we've worked through some really interesting issues, really differences of view and challenges that have come. But also we did some great things. You know, we presented scrolls. Last year we presented scrolls that really set up the year for each of the different ministries that are involved in different churches. You know, it's exciting when you sort of step into heaven with others and you get aspects of vision and things that you're seeing what God's saying and doing, and then bringing it together and seeing how it all fits together. You know, it's good fun. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I just feel now is the time. I just feel now is the time where we really have to start preparing for what's coming. And so these things are going to be in place, ready for what's coming in the future.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
So, do you have examples of how, when you brought things from heaven to earth, how it's actually manifested on the earth?
Yeah. I mean, when the regional Bench of Three first started coming together, we used to just come together and we just used to hang out. There was no agenda. We would just come and we would begin to share the different things that God was doing, and we would begin just to share our hearts. And even just doing that, we saw things shift. We saw situations get revealed. We saw, as we shared things and we embraced the different things that God was doing with each other, it then enabled our own regions to see things move out and change. And we saw last year, you know, there was a presentation of a scroll which talked about establishing new forms of government within the ministries here, which I received from the group, the regional group, and it set the agenda for what we did during the year. And we saw our different organizations here that operate and function. We saw the government of that change. We established different patterns of how things would function. I mean, it was, I won't say it's easy because it was a challenge, but we've now established a different form of government for our external ministries, which we wouldn't have done without that mandate and that scroll being released to us and it getting authorization. There's a number of things that when we brought I went to the Court of Kings and brought a law in about fatherhood and sonship, and we went and we established that together, and then we made an agreement on earth as it was in heaven with our other sort of council members here. And on the next Sunday, I mean, I wasn't even here, but there was just the presence of God came and opened up people's hearts to fatherhood and sonship in a totally different dimension. As a result of declaring something in heaven, it had a fairly immediate effect here on earth. Now, a lot of this stuff we're still learning, and we're still learning what it is to administer, how you make the declarations. I think a lot of what the benches of three will do is being involved with the angels and the canopies of angels. I think that's going to be a key function and a key understanding of how to release the angelic, particularly into the atmosphere of the earth. I went to the Court of Angels on New Year's Eve, and I was given revelation there to assign five classes of angels to do specific things. Now, I received the revelation. Now, as a bench of three, we have to outwork that. And so some of the things that we'll be doing is then seeing, well, what does that mean? And how do we release this class of angels to do this function? I had the revelation about the functions. Now we have to then go and outwork what are those things. So what I tend to do, I'm generally the one who sort of brings a lot of the sort of apostolic vision and blueprints and things, and then I bring it and submit it, and then we go into heaven together with it. And if there's an agreement in our hearts, and then usually we see it authorized with the seal of the lion and the ox and the eagle, and we take it to the Court of Chancellors, then we get strategy. We go to our mountains, and we then begin to see, okay, how do we outwork this strategy? And so some of the things that I see then, the timing of them is key, and sometimes it's not, they don't instantly happen. You then, I've got this revelation about these five groups of angels or classes and what we do with them. We haven't done it yet because we now have to go and get the strategy for how to do it and what that will mean, and is there any actual outworking of that on earth that we need to put in place? It's an administrative function to understand what are the plans and purposes of God, and then to release those plans and purposes to take place on earth. And so, I think, the same thing with operating in the courts and doing different things. We're going to have to learn to use the judicial system. We're going to have to learn to engage with the angels, particularly when it comes to the atmosphere of the earth. And I went to where wisdom led me to the door that went into the atmosphere of the earth, and I saw the state of the atmosphere of the earth and where these barriers and blockages and where these things were in place. And it was just like, okay, I mean, I've seen some things like that before and I've been shown some things, but this was a whole different dimension because I went through this doorway into that realm. But I realized that actually that realm is not my realm to function in a way until the angels clear it. And I think we're going to understand more about the atmosphere of the earth and how the atmosphere of the earth functions and what it is to be restored back to when Adam was able to access it and how he was called to use the atmosphere of the earth to bring his administrative function to the whole earth, because he was called from the garden to take the garden to subdue the whole earth. And so there was a way of using the atmosphere of the earth, which he was supposed to do. Well, of course, you know, as he surrendered it, Satan became the prince of the power of the air. Now Jesus has come back and taken that, the keys off Satan, but the church hasn't actually occupied those realms. And even the kingdom of God in that realm of heaven is in light and darkness. And that's where, you know, the giants and the dragons and all the different ogres and different things that are there in spiritual beings, we're supposed to clear those out, you know, so that we take authority of the mountains in those realms, and all the kings that are in occupying, blocking the everlasting doors, we have to deal with those, where they have got their authority from in terms of the seed line things and the bloodline things over nations, and where those things in the past and the sins and patterns of iniquity which have released the legal authority for those things to continue to function in certain areas. That's what Benches of Three will do. We're going to have to clear those things out and take authority. And so there's going to be a need to get that discernment and to go to the courts and see what the accusations are over regions or over spheres, find out the accusations, deal with those accusations, get the mandates to see change take place. You know, there's a lot of things which, you know, at the moment, some people probably know an awful lot more. I mean, personally, I'm learning and I'm practicing some of those things and learning how to do it and learning the protocol, and I'm engaging with Wisdom in a lot, and she's teaching me some of those protocols and opening some of those doors. You know, I was open, you know, the first door that was open to me was a door into the stars, and it was just like, I thought, oh, I'm really not sure I want to go through this door. So I didn't, you know, and I saw through it, and I've been shown other things in the stars, and I've had other experiences of the stars, but there's a whole different dimension there about bringing things back into alignment, bringing light back into galaxies, whole things of bringing created order back, which, you know, is part of the function that people are going to be given. Some people, I'm not saying everyone's necessarily going to have that function right now, but there's a whole load more dynamic understanding and revelation which God is releasing to enable us to function in this way. You know, and there are some courts I've not been to yet. You know, but I don't tend to pursue things before God takes me there. You know, I can think, okay, when the time's right to go to the court of councils, then I'll go. But I think that court of councils will be some of about setting up these different councils around the world, you know, and setting up councils of 12 and councils of 70 and different things. Well, right now, we're still just looking to establish Benches of Three. So we need to be operating in the court of chancellors and the court of angels, and we need to operate with the court of war much more, because we have to learn how to get strategy, and we learn how to release that strategy and how to release the angels according to that strategy. So there's a whole, you know, dimension around this where, you know, we're learning, but the time now is to see, you know, who are called, who are feeling the call, who are hearing the sound of heaven, this frequency, this sound that's coming out of heaven, who's hearing that sound. You know, I mean, I love mentoring people, I love helping people, but I feel God wants me to engage at a different level with people. So, you know, some of the personal mentoring I do, I'm going to continue with, but I'm going to look for these groups and look for people who are called to different spheres and just look to do whatever I can to help and support them. You know, it's not like setting up some organizational structure. It has to be relational. If I don't know anybody, there's no access to help. So there's got to be a relational connection, and I'm looking for those connections. You know, hence, you know, sharing, you know, I haven't shared an awful lot of prophetic stuff in the past on Facebook or anything else, or even on Google Plus or other things, but I really felt over the Christmas break, you know, God say, you need to start sharing, because you need to let the sound go out. You need to see who responds to the sound. You hear, who's hearing it, you know, and some of that, you know, the response to some of the things that are being shared, will determine where those connections are made, where those relationships are made, so that we can just look to see, okay, how can we establish these benches? How can we encourage and support these things so that we can release the strategy from the kingdom to bring preparation? You know, I think where cities of refuge, apostolic resource centers, you know, there will be physical manifestations of the spiritual dimensions on earth, and we need to identify where those things are and look to cooperate and work together in certain things. But it all starts with, I think, you know, the sound that's coming out of heaven and who's hearing it. You know, who's being drawn? You know, whose spirit is just being drawn to those sounds right now?
Well, I think it's kind of funny because, you know, it was the same time period that I was kind of getting stuff from God about that as well.
Yeah.
So it also seems a little familiar when, you know, like if you intercede, and even though you're not familiar with some of the places, it kind of reminds me at times that I've interceded that you might be like releasing the angels in certain places without being aware that you're actually, as you say, in the court of angels. So do you typically start with, okay, so Lord, where do you want to take us today? Or what do you want to show us today? Is that kind of like where you start?
Well, when we tend to get together to start with, we just share heart. It's just we want to be relational, so we begin to share our hearts and share what's going on with us and share the things God maybe have given any revelation of, and we just start to talk about it and we start to share, and then we start to find that there's this agreement and there's this resonance and there's this that God has been speaking to us individually about similar things or connected things, and that's great. And we had our first, actually, in December, we had a meeting of seven where two benches came together with another guy, and that was really good fun. It was just, you know, we'd never done that before, but when we came together, there was just this openness. And God had given me some revelation about something we needed to do, and then we brought that to this seven to find an agreement, because it was like in this word, it was about three looking for the fourth to bring agreement, and then we actually realized, okay, there's three here, and there's another four, and so we saw that take place, and we then stepped into heaven. Had revelation that we were given there, then we shared that revelation, and then we look, okay, what do we do with this revelation? So we took what God gave, and then we took it back into heaven, and then came back out of heaven with the revelation and shared it. So that's the sort of type of thing that really takes place. You know, sometimes, you know, here in our bench of three, we just go to our thrones. We got three thrones in the realm of the kingdom of heaven. We just go there and we sit, and it's like, okay, what's God showing us? You know, what do we see? And then we come back and we share the different things and the different perspectives. Sometimes we need to go, and we need to go to a court, and we go and present something, and we then again we see, what do we see? And usually we get slightly different perspectives that make up the whole, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for unity, we're looking for agreement that comes together, which multiplies the effect of what we're seeing. So that's really how it has worked. I guess in a sense we're gonna have to discover how it works by doing it, and it may be different for different groups. We'll do it different ways. I don't think you can set up a hard and fast rule for any of this stuff, because if it's relational, then the different gifts and the different callings of each three and each seven, for that matter, will have an effect on how they function together. And that's great, and that's how it should be. We want to set principles in place that help support and encourage people to develop their own way of engaging, and for them to outwork that through their own redemptive gifts, and to outwork that through their own ministry calls and destinies. Yeah, we're not there to try and set up a system. We're there to try and help encourage people to engage the principles, which then they will learn. Yeah, it would be great when people come and say, oh, we went here and we did this. And we're like, where? I've never been there. Great. Tell us about it. And how does that work? And then we can learn, you know, to engage. Because it's not about knowing more than anybody else. It's just being willing to accept the responsibility to release that blessing and to release that encouragement and to release the blueprints that will give people some of the foundations to in which to build. And people will then build in many different ways, and they'll build many different shaped buildings and many different ways that look this way and that way. And that's great, because I think that's what it's like. What we don't want is to try and have another sort of apostolic thing that sets up something that all looks the same and all has to be the same, because it all has to fit in with this and fit in with that. This is much more flexible and relational, in that it's got to be how it flows through the individual people, and therefore we have to create this place of honor where we respect and honor each other, where we're able to recognize the different aspects, where there's no need for competition, there's no need for jealousy, we receive from each other, there's no person trying to prove that they're better than anyone else. We just accept that we take the yoke of Jesus upon ourselves, and we learn from him being gentle and humble in heart. And, you know, being gentle is not being weak and wishy-washy, it's actually being strong, you know, because the word gentle comes from the Greek word, which is about a wild stallion with a bit in its mouth. And what we are is those who recognize the authority and the calling that God's given, and we surrender that totally for the purposes of God. We're not looking to create more man-made structures and empires that God is going to have to pull down. These are spiritual things that release people and encourage people to be themselves and not have to fit in and trying to please man. It's definitely a totally non-man-pleasing thing. It's a God-pleasing thing, and that's the key in all this stuff, really. But,
yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, I'm glad that you put it that way, because it kind of releases anybody from a burden of, because it can get a little heavy, yeah, you know, from all this structure, and can get confusing and so forth. My question would be, okay, so the seven mountains that have the seven, or the three benches of three, how does the first set interact with the other seven mountains with their benches of three? Do you meet with those individually? Do you get, I mean, or do you never meet? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, I can't say that I'm an expert. We are just establishing this now. So okay, we have the seven mountains. We've had them for a number of years. We've identified what they are. I mean, Ian came and said that he saw these mountains and saw all the scrolls that were behind them and things when he came here. The key is to encourage people to take responsibility, but within a framework of apostolic guidance, really. Let's put it that way. And so, you know, for here, let's say there's a healing mountain. We have a healing mountain, a mountain of health. Well, as an apostolic council, we have brought that vision of, hey, we have these seven mountains. One of these seven mountains is a mountain of health. And then what we're looking to do is, okay, we need to identify who feels called to rule on a health mountain. And so what we've done is to say, okay, who feels called? And then we start to talk with those people who feel called. And, you know, there's one person here who's felt called to that mountain. Now, then what we do then is release them and authorize them and invest them with authority to go and find the scrolls for that health mountain, to find mandates for that health mountain, to go and say, okay, what does that health mountain look like on earth as it is in heaven? Do we have healing rooms? Do we have life-busting ministry? Do we have sozo ministry? What is it that we outwork that healing mountain on? Do we have a healing pool? You know, do we operate with healing angels? Loads of different things. You know, ultimately we have a vision for a health center. which will bring holistic wholeness to people. But in right now, we are encouraging the person to go and engage with God and then to look to say, okay, who else is called to this mountain? How do we see other people who are called to the whole healing thing? And those, you know, there are people obviously who have healing gifts. There are people who operate in maybe in healing ministry. That's great. But we're talking about operating in the sphere of heaven here. And so there's establishing in heaven and is dealing with the things in heaven which are going to release those earthly things to function more effectively and more powerfully. And so as a bench of three, we're not going to tell that person who's on the health mountain what to do. We've given them the guidance and we've authorized them to go away and seek. Now, when they've got things that they want to bring, they'll come back and they'll say, okay, this is what we've seen. And then together we can actually say, okay, where's the timing for this? What can we do in terms of resources? How can we support this? And so is there anything that we can do to encourage you or to direct you or to do anything we can do to help? And so a lot of people like positions, but they don't like the responsibility and the accountability that comes with a position. And so I'm not going to go and take responsibility for someone's health mountain when it's not mine. So I'm going to look to do my job is to call them forth, and I've done that, is to raise them up, is to identify them, is to commission them, is to release them, is then to support them, is to be there to give any counsel or wisdom or judicial issues that may come up, to give wisdom into that. But ultimately, it's their responsibility. Now, if they sort of turn around and say, well, this health mountain, actually, I don't really think it is a health mountain anymore. I want to do this. Then that would be stepping outside of the remit that has been given, because we were given the authority for a health mountain. If they wanted to turn it into a book printing mountain or something, that would be something different. And so that might be something that they may be called to do individually in their own lives, in their own mountains, and we would encourage and release people into ministry and entrepreneurship and all different things, into enterprise, but that wouldn't be that mountain. And so we would there just to provide the guidance and the direction to make sure that it's still functioning according to what God says. But we're not there to do it. We're there to help and encourage others to do it. And therefore, there may well be lots of different spheres that we won't be experts in, but we can, because we can access the realms of heaven, we can provide the support and we can point people in the right direction. And yeah, we can go and maybe go to wisdom and say, okay, we need wisdom to be able to help this person, or we will take them and help them to gain access to wisdom or to the doors. I mean, I think some of the access to the doors and going into Satan's trophy room and going under the earth and getting back legacies and getting back family things and getting back things that have been stolen and robbed, mantles, anointings, things that have been stolen and robbed and are Satan's trophies, we need to go and get some of those things back. And some of that is the function of the bench of three, to go and open the doors for others to be able to walk through. It doesn't mean that we do it for people, but it does mean that we often forerun and prepare the way that those people can then go through easier themselves and release them into that. That's really how I would see it. But you know, I'm not an expert. We're just working this out as we go. But I'm learning, you know.
Right. Which brings, because of the situation of the Ian Page, you know, that's a completely different, you know, as far as, you know, it not looking like a church under in a building that's kind of contained, but we're all over the place. So I guess we would be looking to raise up as many as God calls to that bench of three, and then under them, if they feel that they need to establish the seven mountains. Does that make sense, or is that, because like one of the possibilities is someone I know in New Zealand and another person in America, for example. So if we had several benches of three, how would we, or do you have any suggestion how we would establish the Seven Mountains under that when we're kind of all in this one group?
Well, I think what you've got to look at it and see that the group is a place where people can connect.
Yeah.
And so what we're looking to do is facilitate spiritual connections and looking for where people with similar hearts and similar calls and similar vision who are hearing the same sounds can form a chord, if you like, where three notes come together and it forms a harmonious chord. Now, I think you can look to be too structured about it. I think if we look to cast the vision and share the heart, then I think God will start to bring the connections together. You know, I've no problem with the, in a sense, you saying, okay, yeah, there should be a bench of three for the group. That would be fine. No problem. Now, whether that would have seven mountains under it, I don't know. We'd have to find out. Some of it, it's like when you then form a group, you then go and you ask for strategy and you go and ask for the scroll. And then on that scroll, you'll see what it is that you're supposed to do. And I don't want to sort of tie it down. That in principle, I've seen where sevens at work. But that's not to say that every single bench of three will necessarily have seven. It depends really entirely on what the bench of three is called to administer. And actually, let's say that the bench of three for this group may well just be there to administer the facilitating of connections with other groups and other benches who get raised up because we can connect them and we can provide the support and encouragement for it. You know, and if I can help in any way to do that, then, you know, that's where I would see what God has called me to do, is to try and help make those connections and support people in coming together and then help them to find their scrolls and help them to identify what is it that's on their scrolls. And if there are mountains, what do those mountains relate to? And then, okay, how do we relate to people that's connected? I mean, it's exciting because we've not been here before, and there's no rules, and there's no manual, and we've got to find out as we go, and that's the way God likes it, because it means we're dependent on Him, and it means we've got to go back, keep seeking Him, keep asking for wisdom, keep going back to the strategy, and keep going back to engaging with Him. And all this stuff is all about rulership, and we must never forget the relational side. We can't do this without the relationship pathway. We have to have a personal, intimate relationship with God in the garden of our own heart. We personally must be engaging with the dance floor. We must be engaging with the soaking room. We must be progressing individually, growing in intimacy, growing in our relationship. You can't operate in the kingly function without operating in the priestly function with the intimate things with God. So in all this stuff, part of identifying people is, where are they on their own personal engagement with God, and are they pursuing developing that intimacy? You know, and you know, I'm working on these pathways of developing these pathways so that we can sort of have a manual really that will help people on that journey. But it is absolutely vital, you know, because you don't want to get so caught up with doing that you forget that you're being, because doing comes out of being, not for being. You know, benches of three don't get their identity from being a bench of three. They get their identity from who they are in God, which calls them to be a bench of three. And those are all the things you have to start to work out, because they will begin to challenge some of those issues, and things get challenged and brought up where we're challenged to come into a greater level of maturity, and we have to deal with some of those old ways of thinking and old things that will inevitably come out when you start to come into these spheres of authority. Because God starts to, if you surrender as a living sacrifice, you present yourself before God, He's going to continue to take us on this journey and process of transformation. We've not arrived, we're on a journey, and that journey continues.
Okay, so it's probably also okay then for someone to be on the bench of three and not understand it's relational, but to also be on one of the seven mountains or to be on a mountain, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there are any hard and fast rules.
Yeah.
I mean, for here, I've specifically been forbidden by God to go on those mountains.
Okay.
Because if I go on those mountains, I can function there, I can administer there, but I will stop someone else administering there. And someone will look to me because they think, well, you know more than I do, and you can do this better than I can. So I've been forbidden to go on those mountains. And that's, in some ways, a frustration when you see, because I'm visionary and I can see the things that could be done, but God's given me no mandate to tell people what those things are because they're responsible to go to God themselves and get them. And sometimes I'm behind the scenes. I may well be prophesying and calling things and encouraging that in the spiritual atmosphere, but ultimately I have to give that responsibility to others. Otherwise you get back to the old thing, one person does it all. And actually this isn't about one person, it's about three people working together and then encouraging others to work together in the same way. But each group will need to get their own scroll and to find out what it is that God is saying. I'm not saying that you couldn't be, you know, I'm just saying that's me. And I know from personal experience that people tend to be dependent on you if you let them. And so I don't want people to be dependent on me. I want people to go to God for themselves. And so I go to God for myself, and I go to God for as a being part of a bench. But actually, I'm not going to go for other people's responsibility. They're accountable for that, and you need to encourage and support them. But is where I'm learning to do that, because you know in the past I've been just well I can do that, so I'll do it. And I know I've had to stop myself doing things and only do the things that God gives me permission to do. So that's why now I go and get a mandate and I get permission and I get orders to do things, whereas before I would have just, oh yeah, I can do that, I'll do that, or I'll do this, or I'll do the other. And all that does is reinforce an old system of a mediatorial, well, you do this on behalf of me. Now everyone has to go before God for themselves to outwork their own destiny. We just have to honor and respect each other in the roles that we've all been given, so that we get that culture of honor, and that enables us to see blessing be released and everything released. So I don't think there's a hard and fast rule. Someone could be on a bench and they could be on a mountain, you know, particularly in the initial stages of things where you're looking to establish things and you're looking for how do you do this. We'll find out how we do it as we go, I think, a lot of it. But I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, you cleared up a lot of, you know, uncertainty of really what this looks like, so I appreciate that. Would you, this is a little off the subject, but would you consider, at least think about, doing audio, it doesn't have to be video, but maybe audio files where people can download and you're leading them into each one of these things, the chambers of the heart, the various places in heaven. You know, again, I'm not asking for a quick answer. You can kind of think about that, but I think that might be very helpful along with the manual.
Sure. You
know, that you're putting out.
Yeah, I mean, I am, you know, in doing this manual, the reason I'm not sort of I haven't got it out is because I'm realizing that there's a lot of things that does need to go with it, in terms of the exercises and the different things and potential sort of webinar files or video files or audio files that people can use that go along with things. Because the whole thing about a manual, it can be very rigid, or this manual is about helping people to have encounters. Therefore, all you're doing is just having the exercises which open the door for the encounters, because I've been given a key to open those doors. then that's what I want to do. I want to open doors for people to have their own encounters. And so, you know, that's why often I don't describe things in great detail that I'm seeing or perceiving, because I don't want people to just see, trying to see what I see. They just need to open up their own hearts to get the expressions of the things that God wants to show them, because the symbolism of it and the nature of it will be very much according to who they are and the meaning of it. You see, you know, I mean, someone asked me the other day, you know, what does this pink dragon mean? And I'm like, okay, well, that's pretty random. It's like, okay, a pink dragon to me can mean one thing. For someone else, it can mean something totally different. Okay, pink can mean this, pink can mean that, a dragon can mean this. What's the context? Was it in the context of a mountain? You sort of got to get a whole sort of background to things. And so people, yeah, helping people to understand symbolism helps them to engage in what they've experienced. And, you know, I can help along those lines and help people. So I will be looking to produce a lot of what I can. I mean, some of the problem is, you know, we're pretty small here in terms of church, and we're pretty stretched in terms of ministry. And so, you know, the time to do it, you know, I'm finding it difficult because, you know, if I'm doing that, then I can't be doing other things. And so we've got to find a way of releasing resources to be able to release me more into that, and to get other people also who can do the more creative side of it. You know, I can bring ideas and I can bring thoughts, and I'm very technical and I can do the technical side of things. But when it comes to writing things, you know, writing is just not my thing. You know, it's like, but we have a guy here, Jeremy, who does the blog, the Sons of Issachar blog, and he's brilliant at it. And he just takes the things I say and he makes them sound really good. And I read it sometimes and think, wow, that sounds really good. I'm sure I didn't say that like that. But he takes and he carries my heart, and he takes the things I say, and it is what I say, but he makes them sound good on paper. And so we're trying to find out how we can resource some of that, and you know, we're pretty stretched in it, really. So some of it is, you know, how long it'll take, I'm not sure.
So you'd rather do maybe just doing the audio of walking people through might be even easier than a manual.
Yeah. but it's got to tie together, you see. This is the thing. You can produce lots of different audio, but if it doesn't go with something, then people could dip into this and dip into that and actually miss to see that this journey.
Right.
And there is a pathway to follow. This is what God said to me. There is the pathway of relationship and the pathway of responsibility for rulership that have to go hand in hand, but it is a pathway. And if you try and jump into something that you're not prepared for, then it can be difficult. And, you know, there's, you know, I know people do have forerunner experiences, and obviously I've had lots of them. But I really feel God wants it to be something that people can follow and personally experience and encounter, and that's why really I want to, you know, I've got the basic outline of it, and I've got a PowerPoint that explains most of the basic outline. I just have to pull into things, and I want to make an interactive PowerPoint that links to the files, that links to the audio and links to the music and links to the stuff, so that people can take a PowerPoint and run it and go to the different places with the music that will help them into that, or different things like that. Some of the exercises which will be linked to audio files which actually go with the PowerPoint and go with the manual. And so it will be you know, it may be a paper manual, but also there will be an interactive version which will be more interactive and people can use it. But obviously that takes a fair bit of doing. You know, and
yes, but you can be sure that there are so many hungry people, so that would be flying off the shelves, I think. You know.
Yeah, you know.
There's a
balance. You know, it's like I want to give away what I've received, but on the other side of it, I also have to be able to be able to produce the stuff in the first place and have the facility do it. So there's this balance between, you know, having resources available for people to buy, which I don't push, and I'm not, you know, and I, but in some way we have to sort of fund the time it takes and the other people's skills as well to be able to develop it.
Right.
So we're in that place of just saying, well, what does that mean, you know, and how do we do that? And I know God will provide, and you know, God's our provider, and God's provision will be seen, and we'll have to sort of, you know, trust Him to outwork it.
I see that. I do see. I see the provision for you.
Yeah.
And a vision just now. So.
Good. That's good. I'll receive. Yeah.
Hey, I really appreciate your time. And this is going to be great. I can send it to the people I'm, you know, connected with. And then, of course, I would imagine it would be good to go ahead and release it because, you know, if we're looking to establish several places and of, you know, the Bench of Three. And, I, you know, again, like you said, we really don't know what this looks like quite yet. But I think there's like over 1,000 people in our group. So I guess it would make sense to like eventually get the other, you know, groups of threes in places all over the world, I would imagine. So at least now this video will help them understand what that looks like, because it can be confusing a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, I'm here to try and serve and help as best I can, and you know, if I'll be trying to do whatever I can to help you in that and support you in it, you know, and you know, and you know, and you know, there may be sort of benches that I feel called to be involved in. I don't know, you know, I'm involved in three of them already, so I'm sort of pretty much stretched. But actually, you know, I know God wants to establish national things in the UK, and I think, you know, I've been involved in Ireland and different things, so we'll see, you know, see what happens, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you feel called to the group, that would be great.
Okay, all right. Yeah. See what you feel.
Yeah, I kind of suggested that before, but I think you said you were kind of stretched, so I didn't push it any further, but
right.
If the Lord speaks to you about that, you know, I'm open.
Okay. All right. Okay. That sounds okay. I'll think about it, pray about it.
Okay. Great. That would be great. I guess we can wrap that up.
Yeah, I think that'll be